Mike DeGubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful, matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And you remember, beloved, the Lord God here is speaking about man's spiritual condition and man's spiritual need. He's using bread and water as an illustration, because we well know how much the body requires bread and water. And so that's an illustration, but he's speaking concerning spiritual truth. The bread of life and the water of life is the spiritual transformation, the spiritual life that Jesus Christ offers to all who will believe in and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. He gives us eternal life when we invite him into our life, when we accept him as our Savior. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And what that simply means is that Christ died for our sins some 2,000 years ago. When he died on that old rugged cross, he was buried, and he arose from the grave, victor over death, hell, and the grave. That's the gospel, beloved. Believing and accepting the fact that Christ died for your sin, that he was buried, that he arose from the grave. And if you will ask him, he will come into your life. He will forgive you for your sin, and he will give you that glorious gift of salvation and eternal life. It is wonderful to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Well, we're studying in the book of Genesis. Those of you who have a Bible, if you'll go to the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, chapter 3, is where we're studying, and verse 15 is the passage of Scripture that we're focusing on. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Here we see that God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. The word enmity having reference to anger, to hostility, to there being no agreement between the serpent and the woman. They would not get along with each other. The word enmity means that. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. That is, the descendants of Satan and the descendants of the woman. There would be hostility. There would be no agreement between them. The one would not agree or get along with the other. It, the seed of the woman, will bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now here we notice, the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. The head of the serpent or of a snake is the critical place that one must hit in order to kill a snake. You can hit its tail and it will not kill it. It may hurt it, it may damage it, but it can still crawl off and it can still do damage and do harm. It can still eat and it can still bite. But the head is what has to be killed on a snake or on a serpent in order to stop the effectiveness of the serpent. In order to kill it, you have to bruise its head. You have to hit it on the head. And the heel. Where is it that man usually gets bitten by snakes? It's the heel, isn't it? It's that part of our leg that the serpent can reach and will bite and will get a hold of. And so we see there's a beautiful second truth that's pictured here. First of all, remember, in the physiological makeup of man, the way God created man has the seed. In his physical makeup, man has the seed in the sperm. God created man that way. The woman has the egg within her body, and the seed has to be placed into the egg in order for conception to take place and in order for a birth to occur. And so the seed has to be placed into the egg. Now, a woman does not have seed of her own. And so this is a remarkable passage of Scripture here, God speaking concerning the seed of the woman. This is something different. This is something unusual. This is something that's contrary to the way things are. This is something that would require a miracle. And thus, we've been talking about that very thing. Turn with me to the New Testament. And those of you who have a New Testament now, get your New Testament and look with us to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. The first book in the New Testament, the first chapter in the New Testament. We're going to see the Scripture beginning to open up our understanding about the seed of the woman and who this seed of the woman is and how this came about. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. That is, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, that is, she was engaged to Joseph, before they came together. And by that statement, it means before they had any sexual union. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. How was it that she was with child? The Holy Spirit of God caused Mary to conceive. This is a miracle. This is a miraculous thing. This was something that had never occurred before, that Mary would have a child by the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 19, Joseph didn't believe that the Holy Spirit had caused Mary to conceive. He believed that Mary had been unfaithful to him. I mean, what would you think if someone you were going to marry was with child? Would you think that it was a miracle? No, you'd think that she'd been unfaithful to you, that she'd been involved sexually with someone else. And that's what Joseph thought. And so in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately or quietly. Now, what it meant not to make a public example was that in those days, a young woman who was pregnant with child outside of marriage was stoned to death. They would pick up stones and they would stone her to death and kill her because of this terrible act of sin in having a child outside of being married. And so we see that Joseph was going to put Mary away. He was going to break off the engagement. But he was going to do it quietly. He didn't want to shame Mary. He loved Mary. And he didn't want to see Mary killed and put to death. And so he was going to quietly break off the engagement. Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, the angel said, is the one who caused Mary to conceive. Now, this was what Mary had told Joseph, but he didn't believe it. But now the angel of God is giving the same message to Joseph. And so we read verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The word Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew Jehoshua, meaning Savior. And so the angel tells Joseph, this child is by the Holy Spirit of God, and Mary has not been unfaithful to you. And this child shall be called, it'll be a boy. He's to be called Jesus, and He's going to be the Savior of the world, the Savior of mankind. Verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet Isaiah, in that scripture that I've read to you previously, Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now there's the word again, Emmanuel. It may be spelled a little different from the spelling in the Old Testament. The E, the I in the Old Testament has been changed to an E in the New Testament. But it's the same word, which being interpreted is God with us. Now that's where I told you that the word Emmanuel means God with us, because that's what the Bible tells us right here, that the name Emmanuel means God with us. And beloved, that's who Jesus is. Jesus is God in human form. God who was clothed in human flesh. God who was born by a virgin through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, causing her to conceive and to give birth to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not. Now here again is this statement, knew her not. And he's not talking about knowing someone, being acquainted with them. He's not talking about that. But he's talking about that physical relationship, that intimate physical relationship that is God's plan for the husband and wife in order to have children. This is God's design. And so Joseph did not know Mary physically until after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. That was the name Joseph gave to the Lord Jesus Christ, because that was the name the angel told him to give to this child that was born. For Jesus Christ is God in human form. And beloved, salvation is believing and accepting these facts. Believing that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, that he came to die for man's sin, to be buried, to arise from the grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Till next time, goodbye.